Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KZ8RUH.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sound maniacal, or like you're having a bad morning.
No, I woke up, I don't know why, I don't know if I slept through my alarm, or snoozed it, or something like that, and I got up just a little later than usual, so I've been in a real rush, which generally puts me in a funk.
Ah, you have not had ample time to wake up. I get it.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't remember my alarm going off at all. And all of a sudden I open my eyes and it's 6:15. It's like 6:15. I'm like, what the hell? So I don't know what happened, but my wife was up and so I told her, I said, please feed the cat for me. I was able to jump in the shower real quick and get out the door, but no time to really think. You know, now I'm worried, you know, did I grab everything and all that stuff? And, but I'm okay. I'm on the road now, and things are kind of normal. Time's about right. So maybe we're okay.
Yep, that can really throw your day off when that happens. Because there's always, like you said, trying to figure out if you grabbed everything before you left. And there's always that one thing that you didn't really need, but you would have liked to have. And yeah, it causes quite the chaos of your day.
Yep, now I got to try to figure out how to get the car, what's the iPhone car app? CarPlay. I gotta figure out how to get the CarPlay. I can see the factory navigation, but I can't see any of my other stuff. I cannot remember how to do that. Huh.
This sounds like one of those problems that is the most important problem when you're in the vehicle, and then as soon as you get out, you forget to deal with it, so it takes like 2 weeks for it to be resolved.
This is so weird. Let's see here. What if I hit apps? Okay, there's apps. Apple CarPlay. Oh, it's not connected. That's strange.
You know, it almost sounds like the problem I was having a couple weeks ago, and I wonder if there was an update on the phone that caused some chaos in there.
Yep, who knows? It's up now, so
2 miles. Turn right.
I just, I want to see if it navigates me different than the car one, because it's got the car navigation. It always takes me the southern route, but too late now because I was already on northbound to Quinners, so who knows what it would have done while I was pulling out of my sub, but I'm going to take the northern route this time. Anywho, what else is new and exciting? Do you have time to Google the new 7110 from ICOM?
You know, I have not. I've been tinkering with other stuff and looking at other stuff that's far cheaper than that. So trying to stay away from expensive purchases right now, you know?
Oh, yeah, so I told you what the guesstimation is on the price?
Not since we talked about it on Friday, and not since it's been released. What are they estimating the price is? I can't even imagine.
Well, if they're right, it took it right off my radar. They're saying between $1,800 and $2,500. I'm like, yeah, no, there's no way. My limit on something like that would be about 15. I don't even know how they could. I just at that price, I'm sure there's going to be people buying them, but
yeah, that's a little excessive. That's a big decision to make. You know, especially when I understand it's not the. The newest and shiniest item, but there's other radios that do the exact same thing. You know, maybe you need two of them or something, but man, that's a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, I've got two mobile rigs that if I got one of those, I'd sell, and they would, you know, they could get me pretty close to 15, the two of them. And, you know, so that number was kind of like reeling around in my head. You know, if I sell the 480 and I sell the 7000, you know, I could probably get myself, you know, in the ballpark anyhow, so that where it's a small jump. And, you know, I thought about that. You know, but, you know, 18, now it's going to be significant money for me, you know, even if I sold those two items. But I do think it could serve, you know, the 705, that role, so if it could. But if I'm going to have it permanently in the car,
right,
I don't really see it having the same role as the 705. But the 705 could end up surplus to my needs, and then that would definitely get me there. But, you know, three radios for the price of one?
Yeah, that's, that is a bit much. I don't know, you should be having a hard time justifying that, is all I can say. It's a bit excessive. I'm sure it's amazing, and, you know, we can all just wait for Dakota to get super into radio again and buy it and tell us how it works, and then sell it to one of us.
Yeah, there you go. So, haven't heard him in a bit. I know he runs a little different schedule, but heard him pop in a few weeks ago, I think, for a little bit. But he was on his way somewhere. Anywho, yeah, radio is one of those things. It ebbs and flows. I tend not to sell anything. You know, I mean, I sell some things, but I tend to, when I get something, I figure, well, even if I'm not, you know, digging it right now, I will, I'll be back on that train shortly. Oh, is that a one-up? Yeah, a car in front of me has got a bike rack I really like. Boy, you can't even hardly tell it's there. I like that. They got this bike, this company makes bike racks, one-up, and, they're all aluminum, and they're very well made. And the nice thing is, when they're on the car and folded up, they're really not, you know, like the one I got is hideous, and I don't like running around with it. You know, and it's two spots. Normally, I only need one. So, the guy in front of me has got one of the ones I've been eyeballing. But again, money I don't want to spend.
Yep. Yeah, I got an 891 that I want to sell, but other than that, most of the stuff that I buy, like you said, I just hold on to it. because it usually comes in handy. But I'm sure there's a couple things that I could stand to sell off and wouldn't miss one bit. And I think I talked to Dakota Monday morning, not on the radio, but he was telling me his kids went back to school last week and already brought home a cold or flu or something like that. So he was pretty sick last week from his kids.
Oh, we were just talking about that at the shop. We got one guy that's got, kindergartner and just starting kindergarten. We were all talking about it, and everybody's like, because everybody else's kids are all grown or they don't have kids or whatever, and we're like, oh, no, this is Typhoid Mary, man. And so we'll see, but... I'm in an office, kind of separate from the shop, so I can
continue straight.
Have
a little bit
better, chance of staying clear of something that runs through the shop. But honestly, we've more than once over the years, we've all pretty much gotten the same thing.
Yeah, that's kind of inevitable. It happens, that's for sure.
Can't tell what mapping program my phone picked because I've got Google Maps, Apple Maps, and then it's got its own internal mapping. I wouldn't buy a car with navigation, but you can't. When you get one that has when you buy the technology package for everything else, it comes with the navigation. This day and age with the CarPlay or the Android Auto, there's no point in buying navigation built in the car. Although, I'm not sure if either of the third-party ones did it. If you use the navigation built into the car, it has little cues. Oh, wait, I got it. Okay, I'm running, it's in my dash. So even though it says 6.2 miles, make a U-turn. And this is, I think, Apple Maps. And it's in my dash. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's interesting how many mapping softwares there are, but I primarily use Waze when I'm driving and Google Maps when I'm on a computer and looking for something.
I never think to use Waze. I'd like to start trying it. I've been just going back and forth between Apple Maps and Google Maps. But one thing I've been doing lately within the last week or so is I zoom way out and I roll over to Lake Ontario and I see what it's called. And if it's not Lake Ontario, I scratch that one off my list. So I'm not friends with Google Maps right now.
Did Google Maps actually change it? That's hilarious. Man, what a troll. This is so ridiculous, and I love it, though. It's like, everybody's just getting fired up, and it'll just get changed back. It is what it is. This is definitely out of my control, so I don't let it concern me.
Like, don't bother me in the classic sense. It's like, whatever, it's Lake Ontario as far as I'm concerned. It'll be Lake Ontario again, and, who knows, maybe... before the end year's out. But I wouldn't say it bothers, but when I see a company, not just roll their eyes and not bother, I get a little upset with that. It says, why are you doing this? Everybody knows it's just a big joke. So I'm more mad at Google Maps for buying in or whatever they're doing.
I can appreciate that, no matter what side it comes from, when it's something ridiculous, we shouldn't move the culture of the country based on nonsense happening that's, a power play or whatever silliness it is.
Yep, Apple Maps has already stated conclusively they're not renaming it. Because the rest of the world recognizes it as like Ontario. So they said they're not going to. And I think there was one other that said, we're not going to play. Unless Congress comes in. So I guess it was officially, I'm hearing there was a treaty that George Washington signed that named it, and it's an Ojibwe word, so it's fun. I just, on so many levels, I just don't get what the point was. It shows a fundamental misunderstanding of how it got named, and why it's named that, and all that, so just the depth of the ignorance is just, sometimes I get it, I get the quote-unquote troll argument, but the depth of the ignorance sometimes, the things just shake my head.
The funny part is at some point it was called something else, and somebody came and renamed it. So, I understand the frustration people have, but it's just named by a person and renamed by a person. It's, there may be historical value, but it's taken way too serious, and that's why he has the cultural power that he has. And if people would just leave it alone, he would not be able to do what he does. So, it's everyone's fault for getting fired up about silly stuff like this that gives him the power that he has.
Maybe, but I long stopped accepting because he owns the libs as a legitimate, I still can't afford gas or food, or, I'm worried about the economy, the debt looks outrageous and all that, and I'm so past owning the libs.
Give me 1 minute, I'll be right back.
Anyhow, do I need to switch to the Mount Summon right on the cusp?
Yeah, you were getting a little scratchy on that last one.
All right, this is the Mount Clemens. Am I okay into this one?
Oh, yeah, night and day, actually, surprisingly.
All right, well, I'm here at Grossbeck and 696, so I'm basically in the hood. Oh, man. Suri tells me, or whoever the hell is speaking on behalf of Icon, Apple Map, that I'll be home. I'll be at work at 7:03, so, all right, plenty of time to stop and get my daily coffee. I'm actually a little ahead of schedule after being behind, so that's not bad.
Well, that works out great. Usually doesn't work that way. A lot of times it cascades into the rest of your day.
You are so right. Sometimes when I get up a little bit late, then it just sets the tone. And, that's it. Just everything. Sometimes I get recovered by, 9, 10 o'clock after I get in and start getting things. But it just really puts me in a funk. But, today, like I said, I showered quickly. I took a marine shower. And had my wife take care of the cat for me. Then when I see the cat, we got to pay the chihuahua tax. He gets a little spoonful. So we got to pay the chihuahua tax when we see the cat. Eats a different schedule. Mama takes care of the dog, and she got mad at me for taking a cat from my son. So I promised I would take care of him. So that's why I do the one, and she still does the dog, because I'm pretty regimented about it. Cat gets a little wet food at 6 and 6, and then he just has dry to nibble on the rest of the day. The dog, I don't know what his schedule is with him. I can't figure it out.
Connected to CMN Network.
I'm sure they eat just fine, even though you don't know the schedule. Most pets eat as good as the owners.
you ain't kidding there. The Chihuahua's a little fat guy. So he's an oddball. Never owned a little dog. Well, man, when I was a kid, my parents had a cockapoo. And that was when I was a kid. But Andrea and I have had big dogs, at least one, most of the time two, since we've known each other. And they've always been, you know, medium, large, and large dogs. Never had any small dogs, ever. And I brought this rescue Chihuahua home. I was working over at the animal shelter, and they had a raid they had just done on a illegal breeder. They had a whole bunch of dogs in there, and this one little Chihuahua that comes running up to me and jumps up, and it's like licking my face, and you know, he's all excited to see me, and everybody's laughing. They're going, "Oh, this guy found a home." And I'm like, no, and they're going, yeah, and the dog just wouldn't let up. And so I sent a picture to my wife, and she said, absolutely not. And I brought him home anyhow, and that was 11 years ago.
Yep, that sounds like the right story. I bet that happens all the time.
You're not in yet?
Nope, I was also running a little behind, but mostly because I wasn't paying attention. And then I stopped and got gas because I got to get out tomorrow. I got to get out to the other side of town early, so I won't be able. Well, I'd be able to stop for gas, but it's easier to do it now. So I'm probably 3 minutes out.
All right. Going to try some iced banana thing today. I don't know why. It looks good. Iced banana chai. I said, does that have caffeine? Hold on. Yes, it does. I go, okay, I'll try it.
I have not been much of an iced coffee guy this summer. I will have an iced coffee in the afternoon, but even when it's hot, I don't know what it is, but I like my morning coffee to be hot, not cold.
I am pretty much with you there, but I every once in a while, like right now, I'll break down and do the I like the nitro cold brew, just simple, just black coffee cold. All right, hold on, I'm pulling the window. And you heard absolutely none of that because my radio was in talk around.
No, I didn't hear a thing. But I'm pulling up to the office, so I will be clear on your final. I'll catch up with you probably this afternoon or tomorrow morning. That's K8RUH.
All right, Anthony, sounds good. Have fun. Don't work too hard. We'll talk to you later. W-A-F-U.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yes.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KVHSK testing. Anybody available with a signal report?
You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
N-A-W-R-O. Good morning, John.
Connected to CMN Network.
Good morning, sir. How are you? This fine, I believe it's a Tuesday. Fine Tuesday morning, almost afternoon.
Doing well. I hope you are too, John. I imagine you're heading to work. Might actually get a chance to get out there, like I was telling you, and do some wind link testing there down in Mount Clemens, and then gradually work my way this way up north.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that sounds fun. I vaguely remember when we put that antenna up there that a few of us pulled over pretty quickly and tried it and didn't have any success with an HT. Are you going to use a mobile or an HT? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I have both setups available, so I was going to start with an HT, and I'm thinking about maybe I could use the parking deck at the hospital, but I might do the FD parking lot right across the river. It's not too close, but it's close enough to where you could see the top of the building and then gradually work my way back. I do have the ICOM if it's necessary, but that close, yeah, even an HT should work. Dean said, I talked to him last night, Dean said he did at one point get connectivity. I think it was the VHF, because they're supposed to be both, right, UHF and VHF, so I'm going to test both. I know the APERS, what's that called, the DigiPeter? The APERS works fine, but there seems to be some consensus there that something's up with the wind link there.
Gotcha, yeah. All right, well, sounds like a fun and worthwhile endeavor, so try to have a little bit of fun with it. Hopefully your air conditioning is working pretty good today because it's awfully muggy out here. Pretty hot, but not horrible, but it does feel very muggy though to me. It feels hotter than it's been. But yeah, sounds like fun. Other than that, what else is new? Anything good?
Well, on a related note, we talked about the fox hunt on Saturday, and I did note that that's the first Saturday of the month. So I'm wondering about siren testing. We got the fox hunt scheduled at 2, and testing is at 1, so that actually might work. I might be able to catch a siren on the way over to Stony.
Yeah, that's true. I used to love doing the siren testing, and I would do that every weekend in the fall and winter. But then once the summer kicked in, I got so preoccupied with other stuff that I kind of fell off the map on that one. But I should start picking that up again because it was kind of fun. Well, very good. And then we got, it's going to be interesting doing the fox hunt. It's crazy how fast all this, it feels like we just had the other one. And it was, what was that, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? Time flies. But, I'll have to make sure the fox is all charged up and ready to go and get all that ready. I want to adjust the delay so that they do a little bit of a better job of alternating from VHF to UHF, because last time there was a fair amount of simultaneous broadcasting, and when they're right next to each other in the same can, I don't think that's particularly good. But whatever, they're both things. They can destroy themselves.
Oh, no, that's funny. You Bofang hater, you. No, that works really well. You got a good setup there. And listen, I was going to throw this out at you. We don't have to do it, but I'm going to throw my Winlink equipment in the car in case anyone wants to. If they don't want to search for the Fox, we could also do peer-to-peer Winlink.
Sounds good. And, yeah, that might be a good idea, too, for just, checking in. When they found the Fox, they could send a Winlink message back to, I guess we could have a station set up as, kind of the net control, and that station will just kind of monitor and monitor the radio and Winlink, and then let us know when somebody found the Fox, or at least get a record of that time. But yeah, that sounds fun. Should be interesting. I like doing the Fox hunt. Gotta find someone else to hide it this time. Or I just give it to you and have you drive around and stash it so I can find it too. That's probably what we should do. Do you want a fox hunt this time, or are you happy being the fox? Because I'm happy either way, but I want you to be able to have the chance to find the fox as well.
Actually, I'm happy hiding the fox, and I thought we did say, I won't clue you in on where I'm going so that you can hunt too. And then with my Winlink equipment, and also there is the gateway that Oakland County has right over the hill on the west side of Stoney. So we could also hit that as well. So during my downtime while I'm providing security on the fox, I can be playing Winlink. So I'm very happy with that idea.
Okay, well, sounds good to me. Yeah, you're the official Winlink guy for our group. You've really kind of picked that up and ran with it. So that's good. That's what we need. Somebody to kind of take the reins and be the Winlink expert. You've always surprised me with that. With you using Winlink to decode the data bursts and whatnot. That's pretty good. Not too shabby.
Well, I'd say that on an HF perspective, 88OD, and then of course Mike himself would be our actual gurus when it comes to HF. Because John T is really good at that. And like you said, he says MTC is dead to him. He put 50 watts in, can raise it. So that speaks volumes right there. And then, on the decode, it's fun. You just pull a sound modem up. Just sound modem alone, not with Winlink. And there's no chance that you could possibly transmit that way. And it seems to work. 9 times out of 10, it seems to capture the signal. So I find that fun, too. It's almost like fox hunting.
Yeah, for sure. I think Aaron's been a big fan of the peer-to-peer Winlink idea. And ultimately, I kind of am, too, because I see value in that. And I think that's a cool method of delivery for messages. So hopefully I'm still getting in okay. I just pulled in the lot here.
Yeah, you know, if you didn't say that, I would have said, I think you must be pulling into the lot at work because I can tell by the condition of your signal. Still readable, but yeah, we can tell. So sounds good, John. I'll cut you loose. Have a good shift today. I will be on the air, NAWRO, after you.
Alrighty, well, 73s for now, KE8WUO. I will be monitoring and able to transmit in the next, like, 10 minutes once I'm back in the office. KE8WUO. KEPR.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WG8KLL in the mobile.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WG8 Portable.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KEAWH.
KEAWUO.
What's going on?
Not much. How are you? We should meet up again. I think you have some stuff that I should get and touch base on a few things. But what's new and exciting with you?
Oh, not much. Just on my way home now. But yeah, we definitely need to connect soon. You've been doing some cool things. We gotta discuss them. And yeah, I got some gear that has to come your way, that's for sure. But nothing new. I don't think I've talked to you since your camping trip. How'd that go?
Good. It went real good. I had fun. It's nice to get out of the house and get out of work for a couple days. And I probably came back a little too soon. I knew what was pending, this big project I've been working on that you're talking about was on the back of my mind the whole time, and so it was hard for me to focus on relaxing and having fun, and all I wanted to do was get behind the keyboard and start plugging away, but I think it paid off, but I should have really probably spent a little bit more time on vacation, because you know what they say, all work and no play makes me a dull boy or something like that. I forget what it is. but yeah, it was good. Weather was great. The dogs loved it. I took both dogs with me, Rocky and Flynn. And we did a lot of walking around, hiking, swam in the, I forget the name of the river, but we were in state forest land. I had my ORV stickers out, and It was cool. I was listening to the radio, but there was no traffic. So there's really no repeaters up there where I was. And luckily I had a little bit of a cell phone signal, but I also had the Starlink. So that all worked out pretty good. It's nice to actually use the Starlink too. Made me want to get a permanent mount on the car for it because it's just a pain in the butt dragging it out every time. But if it was just on the car ready to go, that would be ideal. I need to find someone to 3D print me a Starlink that I can put in the mount. I don't know if there's a model for that already, but because I don't always want the Starlink up there, but I need to be able to put the cables somewhere. And so maybe just somewhere for me, it doesn't have to be a Starlink mount, but something for me to terminate those cables in so they don't get wet if the Starlink isn't there. But a fake Starlink would be ideal.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought of doing that. Having a dummy case up there that you tuck the wires into, that's I like it. That's a pretty good idea. But yeah, it sounds like you had a great time. I would not mind being in the woods by a river right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was great. It was very relaxing, and there's like a lot of sand, so it's like I don't think I wore shoes or sandals for like 2 days. I was just walking around in the sand, and I found a really cool spot to camp, and it was really cool. I'm glad that I found it. I'll definitely have to go back there, but we had Tom, K-E-8 KJO, jump in. So we'll send it over to Tom and then back to Anthony, K-E-8-W-U-O.
Good afternoon, fellas. Sorry I stepped on you, Anthony. So where'd you go camping at, John? Go ahead, John.
It was north of Clare, right outside of Harrison, Michigan. So it's about 3.5-4 hours north. There's a bunch of two tracks out there, seasonal roads, what have you. And there's a river that goes through there. And I remembered it as a kid because we have a cabin in Harrison. And we would always go out there, and we back in the day, my dad and his buddies had Jeep Wranglers, and so we would drive up there in his truck or, you know, his van, and then we'd jump in the Jeep, and we would go do a bunch of off-roading, and it was a lot of fun back there, you know, and we'd get lost, you know, for a long time, and, you know, back in those days, there was no... There wasn't even MapQuest, you know, so it was cool. But there was this bridge that we used to jump off of, and it was always so hard for us to find. And because none of the seasonal roads are marked, and it's just, you know, you have to go by memory. And I don't know, my dad's memory and my memory weren't always that great on the maze of seasonal roads. And so luckily I was able to use satellite view and pinpoint where this bridge was. And kind of the first time I revisited it in probably the last 10, 15 years. And it's changed a lot, but it's pretty cool. It's no longer passable, but it was cool. It was good times. It's good, you know, it kind of brings back a lot of memories, a lot of fond memories of the old man rambling around in his Wrangler. And us kids just bouncing around, beating our head against the roll cage, and it was good times. We'll send it back to Anthony and then over to Tom.
You know, John, that might be the Muskegon River. That would make sense that would be up where you were. So, yeah, that's cool. You know, I was thinking about you when you were gone, and thought, you know, John has that Starlink. He needs a DMR hotspot, a portable one, and you could have had DMR the whole time. That would have been pretty neat. So, over to you, Tom. KE8RUH. let's see here. One, TMR hotspot portable, 88 OD. I don't know if he's got a couple more or not. I got one. All I got to do is connect it up to your Starlink Wi-Fi, and it works like a champ. You know, you can go change your channels and stuff like that. You know, you talk to it. It works quite well. So there's that. And two, there is a place, John, in the UP, way up there, between Whitefish Point and Unit Sand, called Fritz Point Lighthouse. Charlie Romeo, India, Sierra Papa. Fritz Point Lighthouse. It's all run by volunteers, and that'd be a great place to go camping. Or there's a campground at Pictured Rock National Park. And there's a little one right there. And those are nice.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you had a lot of fun in the Upper Peninsula. I'm a big fan of the Upper Peninsula. So yeah, I'll definitely. I've actually hiked a good portion of what is that called? You just said it. Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, and I did a fair amount of hiking and backpacking through there, and it's awesome out there. It's a lot of fun. One of these days I'd like to go up there and canoe along there, or kayak. But yeah, I'll have to check that out. And that lighthouse sounds pretty cool too. And it's funny. I have a hotspot, and John did program it for me. I just have never put the frequencies I need to interface with it into my other radio. So I just got to do that. I don't know. It always slips my mind. I forget that I have the darn thing, and I feel bad because John put some time into it, and I really should make use of it. And then, Anthony, you're absolutely right. I just looked it up on the maps, and it is the Muskegon River. That is exactly where I was. I was right along that, and I could probably tell you exactly where it was. It's the Jonesville Bridge. If you look that up on Google Maps, you should find it. You'll look and you'll see all the sand along the river there, and then you'll see there's like some RV campers, that's where I was. It's just awesome over there. It's just loose sand, and the Tahoe, I was able to drive the Tahoe back there. I figured if these guys can pull an RV back there, I can probably drive my truck back there. And I did, it went well. So it was a good time. Definitely a lot of fun. So a lot of fun memories of that area. But back to Anthony. KE8WUO with KE8RUH and KC8KJO.
Got us all covered there. Yeah, that's cool. I figured that's where it was. I do like the rivers on the west side of the state, so I kind of know where most of them are, and I do my best to at least. But, yeah, that's awesome. I wonder, that was a couple weeks ago, so it probably wasn't anything out of the ordinary fish-wise. It's getting to, now that it's September, going into October, starting to see some fish spawning and getting interesting patterns, so the rivers will be alive over there, but I'm sure it was just normal when you were there, so that's pretty cool. And Tom, that's cool that you had a good time in the UP. It is the season, you know, it's winding down, and you got to get that last nice warm trip in before fall comes. Yeah, you know, but I will throw it over to Tom. I probably got one more in me. I am almost home. KD8RUH.
Hey, it's AK Joe. Yeah, there was my coworker has a cabin right smack dab in the middle
of the Hiawatha National Forest. I'm talking about an old logging road going up to his property. Well, right there off of the main drag going to his place, there's a little cabin called Hiawatha Cabin. If you go to the Osable Lighthouse in the park, there's little camping sites there. And yesterday, I mean, it's a 2-mile hike from the parking lot to the lighthouse and, of course, back. But then it's another 3.5-mile hike from the lighthouse to one of the old logging chutes. And, but we walked by there, and there's one lady just sitting there with a little pop tent, her car, a little campfire, and she was reading a book. Nothing else. So you can really rough it in there, and we're planning on doing something next year. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, that's a really cool area. One winter I was like unemployed a few years back, and I went up there during the winter, obviously, and it was a brutal winter, very cold, and it's partly why I don't often choose to go to the Upper Peninsula anymore, because I was on a vacation and I drove all the way up there, and I got to around Mystique and started heading north, and I broke the CV axle joint thingy on my car. And so you're in the middle of nowhere, the Upper Peninsula, and so I had to get a tow to Escanaba from there. And that was expensive. And then, you know, a CV joint doesn't just get thrown in your car while you wait type of thing. So I had to get a hotel because I had my dog and I had a bunch of camping stuff that I couldn't leave in the car. And so my big idea for vacation just turned into staying at a hotel at Escanaba. There was not a lot going on. I could walk out and look at the ice fishermen on Lake Michigan, but that was about it. And but yeah, I don't know. I love the Upper Peninsula. If I can get up there, I do try to get up there. Munising is definitely one of my favorite areas. Pictured Rocks is awesome. And then what's the other? There's a Lake of the Sky or some lake up there. I forget the name of it. Lake in the Clouds. I forget. It's something just like that. But it's a whole area up there is just awesome. And then you know, Tequamanon Falls and all that. I've been all over up there. I've spent enough time up there where I don't mind hanging out on the Muskegon River. I really like the Asabo River too, but it's not as much of a commitment, you know, going a little bit north instead of all the way north. But all right, well, since Anthony's pressed for time, we'll send it over to him, KEAWUO.
You know, I haven't spent nearly enough time in the UP over the years, but I have been up there quite a few times, so I don't feel like I'm missing anything. And, yeah, I know what you mean, John. Like, it's quite the commitment to cross the bridge time-wise, whether it's just the drive time or the amount of time that you have to have off or whatever it may be. It's a commitment, and you gotta be ready for it. It's not just a quick weekend trip up north or whatever. So it's a different beast. So, all right, gentlemen, I'm pulling into the driveway here. I'll catch up with you maybe tomorrow. This is KEAWUH, and I will be clear. 73, Anthony. Turn over to Josh for his, and then you can throw it back to me. KKKJO.
23 is Anthony. Have a great day, and nice talking to you. And just let me know when a good day is to meet up. And you don't have to respond now, but just hit me up, and I'll swing by after work. Things have kind of opened up here. KE8WUO, over to Tom.
Bravo, UABPD. Good afternoon, Brian. KPK Joe and KEAWUO. What are we in a second there? But John, check out the Crisp Point Lighthouse. If you have like a lot of vacation time, I mean, if I knew about it, I would have taken some more vacation time. But the lighthouse is run by volunteers, and some of them do a 3 or 4 day stretch. Others do an entire week stretch where you volunteer up there. And there's a camper and barbecues and everything else like that. You literally camp at the lighthouse as you volunteer your time. And I think that is pretty darn cool. So something you might want to check out if you have a few weeks vacation and volunteer a week up there and get to stay up at the lighthouse. Sleep either in the camper or sleep on the ground or sleep in the lighthouse. I'll throw it over to you and then throw it over to Brian. KJKGO. Go ahead, John.
All right, yeah. So I just pulled it up on the map here, and that is right by, I mean, it's relatively close to Whitefish Point, which we have a diving charter out of Whitefish Point next year. So that, and then from what I understand, there's really nothing in Whitefish. There's no food. There's a museum, but there's not really a whole lot else. I don't even know if there's a hotel there. So I might just try to rough it and just go up there to where you're staying, because it looks like there's some pretty good little roads that lead right to where that lighthouse is. And that's kind of my type of thing. And it's right off of Lake Superior, which is really cool. And maybe we see some northern lights or something while we're out there. But, all right, well, we'll send it over to Brian, WABPD. This is KEAWUO.
WABPD, yeah. I'm just waving my hand to everybody from sunny Michigan. Playing out in the woods myself this week. I took off the whole week. Doing a little bit of work around the property and, you know, just enjoying peace and quiet. Had rain yesterday morning, supposed to have rain tomorrow off and on throughout the day, so I'll get some time to relax in between the sunny spots.
Oh, look at you go. I got home about 1 o'clock this morning, woke up at 6, and I'm now coming back from Freeland for work. So I got another hour before I get home. Left the St. Marie about 7 o'clock yesterday, and I didn't get home until 12:30, quarter to 1. But I'm glad that we stopped a second time in the Sioux, because there was a 1,000-footer that was sitting in the lock, and it was humongous. I can't believe how big that thing was, you know, being so close up to it. But in regards to Crisp Point Lighthouse, John, there is a road that leads up to it, and your vehicle, the Yukon, is best suited for it. I did it in a little Hyundai Sonata, and it says, oh, yeah, 12 miles from the main drag up to the lighthouse. Yeah, 12 miles at 30 miles an hour. It took me an hour to get to the lighthouse, but it was well worth every bump and every dip to get there.
WA4MLD.
All right. Well, yeah, that that makes it a little less appealing sounding, but I thought the trip to the Muskegon River this weekend and all the roads I had to go, I think it was like 3 or 4 miles, and I thought it was a little harsh on the truck, but 12 miles. I don't know, in an hour, I'd have to get up real early to get to the boat launch in time to go out with the guys in the morning. So I'll have to think about that. But it might be worth doing at the end, but we'll see. So we got WA4MLD. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you mentioned one of my favorite places in on the planet up there. My name is Ray, R-A-Y. I'm down here in Warren. But back in the day, my wife had some high school friends. We're going to start a restaurant and kind of a hotelish kind of place up there in the Paradise. And I guess that hasn't come to fruition. But we've been out to the to Chris Point a number of times. First time, there was no gravel road at all. You drove out to a two-tracker over the roots on the mud. And we came back there a year or two later, and they had just put in the gravel. And I had a small Class C camper, and I had equipped with hand gear and all that. So we drove out there and stayed overnight at the lighthouse in our camper. My wife went up in the tower and was scraping paint and working on the balcony on the lighthouse. And I meanwhile stretched a vertical wire up to the top and made the first on-the-air contact from the Chris Point White House. And so we had a lot of fun on that trip. And the building is very threatened. The waves were trying to come right in. They've been trying to keep it shored up and not have the whole thing fall into the lake there. But there's a nice little, if you want a rustic campground, Lake Andrus out there on the road to Paradise is a great place to camp. Over.
You're connected to CMN Network.
I had to wait for everything to ID. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to get back to my work. I heard you chit-chat and thought I'd stop in and say hello. Good afternoon. You know, I don't get up here enough, so I got to get what I can done when I'm able to. So I will talk to you gentlemen later, probably tomorrow, if it rains like you say it's going to. W8BPD, I'll be clear on your finals.
All right, Brian. Enjoy your vacation there. I'll say 73 from KCK Jill. Throw it over to John and W4PLD. Say there's 73s and then just throw it back to me when you're done. KCK Jill over to KEWUO.
All right, Brian. You have a good rest of your day. Enjoy your vacation. Although I'm pretty sure you're retired, so I'm not sure how that works, but. I know you do a lot of volunteering, so you're still on vacation, and you make good use of it. And hopefully the rain misses you tomorrow. So have a good one, sir. This is KE8WUO over to AD8MP, Ray.
That's Brian, Police Department out there, KFA-DRC.
Ooh, it's kind of getting busy.
Yeah,
out there.
I'm still here, Jack.
Now where was I? Oh, yeah, John. Yeah, the Chris Point Lighthouse. Yeah, you take your gear up there. Like I said, there's two ways to get up there. It's a 12-mile trek, but I was doing it in a Hyundai Sonata, and it's my mother-in-law's, my late mother-in-law's car, and I didn't want to sit there and get anything and snap any. I just took my time going up there. It was a little bit of washboard, but there were quite a few pickup trucks that went by me a lot faster, so I think, you could probably get up there quicker with the Yukon. In addition to that, they have a big old motorhome up there, so definitely a place to check out. Throw your solar panels up there, and I mean, I'll send you pictures through Discord of the ones that I took, but it's breathtaking and absolutely beautiful. And yeah, I'll take that trek again. And there is a two-track that goes there. I just don't know how to get there. And I'll throw it over to you, and then if Jack is still there, I'll throw it over to DRC. Hey, take care.
Yes,
well, good afternoon, everyone. I just want to say hello, Brian. How are you doing? And we miss each other, so I'm doing fine. And that's about it. Tom, anyhow, good to hear you out there, Tom. You guys take care. Have a good day. KFA-GRC.
Go ahead, Brian, if you're still monitoring.
Gotta jump out here, guys. I got a phone call. KJO.
Alrighty. Have a good one there, Tom. I'm going to probably get back to work here, too. But I'm going to send it over to Ray one last time and make sure you're still with us here. KE8WUO.
KE8WUO, W-A-4-L-O-V, and that's one of our favorite. My dad used to like to go up there in the summertime, so I knew all about it as a kid. If you have a chance, if you haven't done it yet, go visit the museum. We happened to be there on the day that they dedicated the museum. I think it was the granddaughter of one of the men that went down on the Fitz. They had salvaged the bell from the ship, the only thing they happened to salvage. And they had this girl, about a fifth grader, and she came in, maybe 100 people, and crammed in there. And she rang the bell, and I'll tell you, that was quite an experience. So everybody was, like, mesmerized, you know. So that's our memories of Whitefish and all that. Have a good day if you go up there and enjoy it. It's one of the unique places on the planet. WA4MLD, and used to live in Florida for almost 20 years. That's why I have the close phone call. But I'm right here in the old city of Warren, right north of Detroit. WA4MLD, have a good one. Bye.
Okay, yeah, I definitely look forward to getting out there, and I will definitely be hitting up that museum because we're going to be going there to scuba dive on shipwrecks anyway. So naturally, we have to hit, you know, the Whitefish Shipwreck Museum and check that out because I've heard nothing but good things about it, and I've always wanted to go there, and it's probably the only other thing you could do up there aside from camp and boat. And dive, I guess, volunteer at the lighthouse. So I'll definitely be checking probably all that out. I might take like the week off for that one and just enjoy the whole thing. So I appreciate the information there, and I'll keep that in mind when we get closer and, I'll probably have some questions for you because you mentioned the campsite, but looking at it, it looks like you could pretty much camp anywhere up there. but very cool. Yeah, I see a repeater, it looks like, up there too. So, all right, well, I will shut up now. I don't remember who else is out there. I think it's just you and me now, Ray, but I'll send it back to you, but I'll probably be getting back to work here. We've got to wrap up a few things before I can head out for the day. So KE8WUO over to 88MP.
Currently connected to CNN.
WAMP, KPR.
Connected to CNN Network.
KCKJL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Was that you, Tom? This is KFA EDQ. Nothing heard. There was, I guess, a APRS came out on the Mount Clemens. So if you're in the Mount Clemens area and you got your APRS on, just let you know. Coming out through the repeater, KF8EDQ. Yeah, thanks, EDQ. This is NAWRO. I've got the equipment on. I'm going fishing, trying to find it. I didn't catch it for the last two, so. Thanks again. NAWRO, clear. No problem. NAWRO, KF8EDQ. I just wanted to, I had to check the dashboard to see if it was our, if it was KF8GBA again. But it wasn't, so it was somebody else. But I'll be clear, KF8EDQ. Copy your last. Appreciate it. NAWRO.
KDHWUO.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KBB.
Connected to CMN Network.